"It is possible, of course," said Dumbledore politely.
"Dumbledore, you know perfectly well you did not make a mistake," said Professor McGonagall angrily. "Really, what nonsense! Harry could not have crossed the line himself, and as Professor Dumbledore believes that he did not persuade an older student to do it for him, I'm sure that should be good enough for everybody else."
She shot a very angry look at Professor Snape.
"Mr. Crouch! Mr. Bagman!" said Karkaroff, his voice unctuous once more. "You are our, objective judges. Surely you will agree that this is most irregular."
Bagman wiped his round, boyish face with his handkerchief and looked at Mr. Crouch, who was standing outside the circle of the firelight, his face half hidden in shadow. He looked slightly eerie, the half-darkness making him look much older, giving him an almost skull-like appearance. When he spoke, however, it was in his usual curt voice.
"We must follow the rules, and the rules state clearly that those people whose names come out of the Goblet of Fire are bound to compete in the tournament."
"Well, Barty knows the rule book back to front," said Bagman, beaming and turning back to Karkaroff and Madame Maxime, as though the matter was now closed.
"I insist upon resubmitting the names of the rest of my students," said Karkaroff.
He had dropped his unctuous tone and his smile now. His face wore a very ugly look indeed.
"You will set up the Goblet of Fire once more, and we will continue adding names until each school has two champions. It's only fair, Dumbledore."
"But Karkaroff, it doesn't work like that," said Bagman. "The Goblet of Fire's just gone out. It won't reignite until the start of the next tournament."
"In which Durmstrang will most certainly not be competing," exploded Karkaroff. "After all our meetings and negotiatings and compromises, I little expected something of this nature to occur. I have half a mind to leave now."
"Empty threat, Karkaroff," growled a voice from near the door. "You can't leave your champion now. He's got to compete. They've all got to compete. Binding magical contract, like Dumbledore said. Convenient, eh?"
Moody had just entered the room. He limped toward the fire, and with every right step he took, there was a loud clunk.
"Convenient?" said Karkaroff. "I'm afraid I don't understand you, Moody."
Harry could tell he was trying to sound disdainful, as though what Moody was saying was barely worth his notice. But his hands gave him away. They had balled themselves into fists.
"Don't you?" said Moody quietly. "It's very simple, Karkaroff. Someone put Potter's name in that goblet, knowing he'd have to compete if it came out."
"Evidently someone who wished to give Hogwarts two bites at the apple," said Madame Maxime.
"I quite agree, Madame Maxime," said Karkaroff, bowing to her. "I shall be lodging complaints with the Ministry of Magic and the International Confederation of Wizards."
"If anyone's got reason to complain, it's Potter," growled Moody. "But funny thing, I don't hear him saying a word."
"Why should he complain?"
burst out Fleur Delacour, stamping her foot.
"He has a chance to compete, hasn't he? We have all been hoping to be chosen for weeks and weeks. The honour for our schools. 1,000 galleons in prize money. This is a chance many would die for."
"Maybe someone's hoping Potter is going to die for it," said Moody, with the merest trace of a growl. An extremely tense silence followed these words. Ludo Bagman, who was looking very anxious indeed, bounced nervously up and down on his feet and said,
"Moody, old man, what a thing to say."
"We all know Professor Moody considers the morning wasted if he hasn't discovered 6 plots to murder him before lunchtime," said Karkaroff loudly. "Apparently, he is now teaching his students to fear assassination too. An odd quality in a defense against the Dark Arts teacher, Dumbledore, but no doubt you had your reasons."
"Imagining things, am I?" growled Moody. Seeing things, eh? It was a skilled witch or wizard who put the boy's name in that goblet.
Ah, what evidence is there of that?
Said Madame Maxime, throwing up her huge hands.
Because they hoodwinked a very powerful magical object, said Moody. It would have needed an exceptionally strong confundus charm to bamboozle that goblet into forgetting that only 3 schools compete in the tournament. I'm guessing they submitted Potter's name under a 4th school to make sure he was the only one in his category.